gentlemen, I'd like to call to order the Osage Minerals Council regular meeting Friday, August 12, 2016. With that, I'd like everyone to rise, and I'd like my brother to say a prayer for us, and then we're going to stay, have you seated, and then we're going to read our deceased Osages.
Apa le, deko on se aha le, intatsi wakanta wakanta ijike, walaki stompai akona kai. Deko on se aha le, kisto mai, nikashe, wele joa, ole wai, ole. Waja, maja detse, waja, ja nikashe, anki kupita. Ole na andatse, ali, apita. Ojan ke lita, le lai, wea, ikutse kai. Angoski ikutse kai, jinkashi, ankotapi, amari, kutse, pashe. Omaka, skake, akonda kai. Deko on se aha de joi, ke iya detse, nikashe, detse, jinkashi, shinto, jin, eron paha detse. Tak ele kombra maja dette, anku, anki ku. Nantse vale skake ankonga ankai, deko on se aha de. Puhaska iya iya, okia kombra. Thank you, Lord, thank you, God, Wakanda. We address you at this time, we want to talk to you to give us the strength and the good heart, good minds, wadila, dale, shkache, kondankai, that you give us, we want that, give us a good mind to lead the direction, wele, joa, maja, detse, olawai, ni, for our Osage people, wajaji, nikashene, because we affect a lot of people, huahaska, nika, zani, out there, a lot of people, and their business, their money. We just want to make sure that we make the right decisions, and ask that you bless the families here, the Kisto Mai, Nika She, Tila Ita, all the families of the council here. Mahi Tanka Nika She, Watanka, Robin Phillips, her home.
Yeah.
And all the Bureau people at the Americas, Mahi Tanka Nika She, that represent the United States. I've asked that you bless them at this time. Give them strong homes and all the things that we're thankful. Oh, and not say that. Oh, and I think I share that. Come on, God, we want to give, talk to you in that way. Kisto mai watanka le te a le wale. Tak e le komba le wadila shkake a komba anka wadila la le shkake a komba anka. Ia ga se a na ka komba kipshe komba ka komba.
Very nice. Just have a seat.
You want water?
Yes, please.
Well, I sit down.
Thank you, Chairman, asking me to read.
What you said?
Our individuals have passed to me, I think, and I'm into the Mineral Council and to the Osage people. These are dear people to our hearts and minds. We look forward to seeing them again. We believe that way. I want to call their names out. Charles Colbaugh, Allison K. Luttrell, Peggy J. Rebar, Clementine Montrose, Leonard F. Dennison. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, brother. I'm honored. Yes. With that, I'd like a roll call, please.
Here.
Councilman Dishwalla?
Present.
Councilman Kern?
Here.
Councilman Irwin?
Here.
Excuse me.
Councilman Redcorn?
Here.
Councilman Redcorn?
Here.
Councilman Waller?
Here.
Councilman Bates?
Present.
Thank you very much. A little housekeeping. We're going to take 4C off today. Have requested go ahead and be taken off of our agenda. And
McNamara, before you on.
We need to announce our payment, $3,230. We posted it yesterday on our website. Wanted to bring it out in our meeting today. With that, I'd like to call that under new business, item A, Agape and Associates. Ms. Roach. My dear, please.
Thank you, Chairman Waller, and all the council members for allowing me to speak today. I would like to read my letter into the record just so that everybody knows what I'm discussing. It was dated August the 10th. It says, I have been in receipt of copies of two letters in the past couple of weeks that concern me from the BIA superintendent. Both of these letters are notices that reports have not been filed on certain leases. In both instances, I have gone to my file and pulled out the copies of the reports, driven to Pawhuska, and again submitted them to the BIA minerals. In both instances, I actually had file stamped copies to resubmit. I also had at least two lessees who were fined $150 each for the reports being 3 days late. Past policy of the BIA has always been that if a lessee did not meet the deadline for the filing of a report, that the first offense was a $50 fine. I understand from attending almost every meeting since the inception of the Osage Minerals Council that the ONC has continually requested copies of the policy of the BIA to no avail. I do know that as far back as when Chief of Minerals Newell Barker was at the BIA, that this has been the policy. With the current downturn in oil prices and the economic issues with the oil and gas industry in the Osage, I feel that this newest additional fining burden placed on the lessee is excessive and capricious. It is also of no benefit to the head right holders since the fines do not go to them, nor do they go to the Pawhuska Area Office of the BIA to improve operations, but to the U.S. Treasury, which is just another governmental black hole that does not benefit the Osage operations in any way. This punitive action is just creating more burdens on the Osage lessees and confirming to them why they don't want to operate in the Osage. I would ask to be placed on the agenda to discuss these issues and also to bring to the attention of the ONC copies of file stamp reports as far back as April of 2012 that are either erroneously stamped into the system or have been double stamped. I have 169 of these reports dating as far back as April of 2012. A double stamped copy happens when I have originally hand delivered to the report, and at some point the BIA has called me and told me that they did not have the copy, driven to Pawhuska with my hand stamped copy of the originally filed report to have it stamped yet again with the newest date. This proves that the system is severely flawed at the BIA and that these lessees that mail their copies of their reports have no proof that they also timely and already filed their reports. Thank you for the consideration of these issues. Sincerely, Mona Roach. Are there any questions?
Councilwoman.
Let me recap here just a minute. You have 169 forms. Would you tell me what form it is, please?
They will either be, most of the bulk of them will either be Form 133s, which are the regular oil lessee reports. If they have a consolidated lease, they will be a Form 157, because you have to put consolidated leases on that one. A Form 300 is some of them, and that would be a water flood. And like I said, they will have two stamps on them. The first stamp when I originally filed them at the BIA, and then whenever I got a phone call, I would, as I said, drive over here and have them stamped in yet again. So they would have both of them on there. Some of them, when we pulled them out of our file, we figured, we found out that the copies didn't come through and they don't actually have the dates on them. They just had the round stamp showing that we did that. And at the time that I started doing that, in the past, I have done reports since 1998. I started out with Tallgrass Petroleum, and we would mail them at that time, usually. And then maybe three or four times a year, if we were over here, we would hand deliver them and have them stamped. And about in, probably in 2011 or 12, is when I started hand delivering them, having them file stamped at the time that I delivered them, and then keeping a copy in the file. I have always kept copies in the file, but whenever you do that and you mail it, then you have no record that it was actually received. And so that's when I started doing that. So that's as far back as I could go. The oldest one we found that was double stamped was in April of 2012.
So approximately, what you know of, you're losing about 40 forms a year. I'm trying to figure out why you yourself that you're losing these forms. I can't find them or losing them or whatever they're doing with them. I can't figure out why there's so many.
Me neither, because this is how many there are. And that, bear in mind, I do probably around 100 to 130 reports a month. And each one of them now, have them all file stamped. We hand deliver them. We try to get them over here as soon as we can get the data put into the reports. Unfortunately, sometimes, depending on your purchaser, CoffeeGo's really good because we can go online and pull off our reports. And so we can pull those a lot easier than we can our other purchasers. And certain ones of them, we have to wait till the operator gives us that report in order to complete the monthly filing. And so at times, the purchaser doesn't get them the information they need in order to get it to me to get the reports filed timely. And that's not their fault.
Excuse me.
I do also have something that I would like to read as well. On June 24, 2016, Nona Roach came into the Osage agency to drop off lessee reports. During the review of these reports, James Helton is in the audience. He's my supervisory accountant. And I found that she was submitting late reports. James Helton and I met with Ms. Roach, informing her of our findings and that a letter would be going out to the lessee as to the future lessee reports being submitted by the 25th of the following month, per the regulations. She stated that she had to resubmit lessee reports to the agency before because the agency apparently had lost them. I informed Ms. Roach that if the error was made by the agency, then the penalty would be dismissed. Ms. Roach left in a haste, stating that she would let the OPA know. On July 7, 2016, the Osage agency provided written notification to the lessees citing the regulations as to the submittal of lessee reports and the penalty. This resulted in several calls from lessees asking whether or not this would be retroactive, which I told them that it would not, that we basically wanted the reports by the 25th. For those lessee reports that were received after the 25th, the agency confirms prior notification was given upon the lessee. If previous notification could not be confirmed, the agency sent the lessee a letter as to future submittal of lessee reports and the regulations. On July 30th, the Osage agency ran a report to determine whether or not we had received all the lessee reports. We found that we did not. We notified the lessees, telling them that they needed to submit their reports, whether or not there was production, and we provided the Minerals Council with copies of those letters.
Anything you'd like to add?
Other than us trying to follow the regulations, we will follow the regulations.
Councilwoman, please.
I'm sorry, I do. During this time, the agency, and we met with Nona because we were trying to, in good faith, let Nona know that, you know, some of the reports that she were trying to submit that day were late. And we didn't charge anybody at that point. We notified everybody and let them know that, hey, they're due on the 25th. So I'm surprised that there was three that were late that you report for.
And what day is that letter, Superintendent?
The date of the letter that we sent out was July the 7th.
Of this year?
Yes, July the 7th. Nona came in on June the 24th to ask for, to submit her reports as well as get her copies dated. And to also help Nona, we have purchased a date stamp there for the agency in the branch of accounting, so Nona can, whoever wants to bring them in and have them dated, make a copy, bring in their copies, however they wanted to do it, that'd be perfect.
Councilwoman Bailey.
I think part of my question was already answered, but I'm going to ask Nona. Whenever you went in initially and had the report stamped, what department did you take them to be stamped?
The Division of Minerals.
Minerals, okay. The next question is for Ms. Phillips.
Yes.
How late were the Lesia's reports received? What do you consider late?
The 26th. They're due on the 25th.
Okay.
The regulations specifically state that the Lesia shall furnish certified monthly reports by the 25th of each month, covering each following month, covering all operations, whether there has been production or not, indicating therein the total amount of oil, natural gas, casing head gas, and other products subject to royalty payment. If by chance they fail to report, failure to report shall subject the lessee to further penalties as provided under 226.43, which is $50 a day until compliance is met.
And I'm familiar with that regulation. But my question more specifically is, when did you receive these late reports? Within 5 days? Or?
Well, the one that got charged, it was 3 days, because it'd be $50 a day.
The 28th?
The 28th, yeah, or the 29th. It'd be $50 a day after the 25th. So the 26th, the 7th, and 28th.
Do the lessees know that we're going back to the old regs? And how do they know?
The lessees were provided notification by letter dated July 7th, 2016. We did a massive mail-out.
Okay, to all the lessees.
To all the lessees.
Not
and like,
the 45.
And like I said, no, the 46 that did not provide anything, we notified them that we hadn't got any report at all from them, whether or not there was production.
Okay.
Thank
Councilman
you.
Councilman Norman, Councilman Crane, did you want to get on? And then Councilman Redhorn, quickly.
Okay. It's my understanding that she did bring in some reports that were probably late, 3 days later, whatever. I understand that. But I'm trying to figure out the double-stamped ones. And I don't know if you addressed that in your letter. I'd like to have a copy of your letter. Because if they've been submitted once, and then she has to bring them in and be submitted again, apparently there is a problem. And I'd like to, you know, try to figure out what the problem is. But I would like to have a copy of your letter and your letter. Ms. Nona, to understand that, because there is a problem if you have to double stamp them.
Well, that's what we're trying to address at this point.
Yes.
And that's why we notified everyone. We need the lessee payments in by the 25th.
Yes, ma'am. I understand.
On the 26th, 27th, and 28th, we're focusing on ensuring it goes into the Osage suite so we can pull a report on the 29th to identify who has not submitted a lessee report.
But, you know, she did admit that she brought one in that was, what, 3 days late, and she knew it was late when she brought it in, I guess.
There were two that were file-stamped on the 28th.
Okay.
And as I explained, sometimes that's beyond the control of the operator. That's exactly why, and that hasn't been addressed in the letter, I might point out, is the gas reports. The gas reports cannot be done on the 25th of the month. And that was never addressed in the letter that went out, and that was a big concern with a lot of my guys, because I believe the Osage Minerals Council has a special resolution that says those gas reports are not due till the 10th of the following month, because most of the time, Kinder Morgan, Scissortail, whatever you want to call them, I get my gas settlement statement sometimes on the 25th. Most of the time, I don't ever get it until after the 25th. So that was brought to the attention of the Minerals Council. I'm not sure which council it was. And the council had agreed and passed a resolution, it's my understanding, that they're not due to the 10th. That was never addressed in the letter. I had numerous phone calls from gas lessees saying, well, what are we supposed to do? We don't even get our gas settlement statement until after the 25th of the month. And so that was not addressed in the letter, but that is something that probably needs to be addressed.
We did receive various calls, and we did tell them about the resolution for gas. So what the agency is doing at this point on the 26th, 27th, and 28th, we're ensuring that everything is encoded for oil. On the 11th, 12th, and the 13th, Of course, this month, 13th is on a Saturday. My group doesn't work on Saturday, but we're dedicating those days to encoding to ensure that on the fourth day, we can pull a report as to who has not submitted Lessee reports. So, yes.
Matthew, that first question, you said that you provided us copies of the letter you sent out, but I don't remember how many there was. On the latest mailing, telling people that they were not compliant, that were late, and that need to go away. How many of those letters that went out that you, people who were late? Do you remember?
Oh, the people that were late recently, I don't know. How many?
That were late total for June 2016?
Yes.
I would have to look. I believe there are less, a little under than 10.
A little under 10.
Less than 10.
How many letters were sent out telling everyone to, the original letter that came out?
I'm gonna have to rely on James. Do you know how many letters went out?
Approximately, James.
How many?
436.
Thank you.
That was to inform people that, hey, the regs say this and you need to start doing it.
Yes.
My second is more of a comment. We obviously do have a problem. One of the problems is we're still working with paper coming in. And as we discussed in our improvement meeting, the mechanism is there to start having these reports come in digital form.
Yes.
And when you do the digital form, you get a feedback back down whether it's correct or seems correct. So the back and forth would be eliminated, and you would have the digital, ability to get it in. We addressed that, and right now, as we learned the other day, the BIA won't implement that because of the hold on the new regs. So, and we had a lot of people who came to me during that process, even small, and said, we do it on a computer, why do we have to do again in paper and then send it in, and then it come back, and then as Ms. Rose is talking about, there's all sorts of ways that things can go wrong. You start dealing with 400 and some odd producers sending who, God knows how many reports in paper each month. I have another follow-up question, though. One of the deals we received recently in terms of things being sent out was for cancellations of leases for non-production. And I wonder if this increased vigilance you're doing on trying to see when the reports went in right triggered some of these. Because I noticed at least two of them have been in non-production since 2004. And some of them were 2010, seemed like. I didn't try to memorize them all, but this seems to happen every time that we have to look at some, again, because it's of the computer system. I hope that this means that you now have the ability with your computer to at least tell, well, who has sent and who hasn't sent in. Apparently, you can't.
You do.
And that's a huge thing, because when we were first looking at this deal, the only way that the BIA, when I'd ask them, well, how do you know if somebody is late or hasn't turned one in? They said, well, if you tell me the legals, I can look it up. But otherwise, there's no report generated every month to tell whether they're late or not. Now, that's kind of unfair for both sides, because producers who have been getting away with not sending them in since 2004 probably don't think that the 25th is all that important. You know, that they haven't been anything happened to them since then. So I think once we need to follow the regs, and once we get it straightened out and have a system whereby it works, you know, in everybody's favor, then we maybe get the problem solved.
I'd like to go to Councilman Redcorn first.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to remind this council that we as a governing body has rejected the regulations. Sometimes I win a vote, sometimes I don't, but I do respect the decision of this council.
there are some issues that are brought up, that's been part of that agreement or that work, and that might be the case, but as a whole, at least the vision of the council was that it was detrimental to the operators out there, and it was proven in court. So I just want to say that as a statement. The second thing is I get a lot of feedback from the Bureau on all the cancellations and terminations and et cetera. So I'm getting a feeling that Mrs. Phillips is saying, and it's a right on the spot, that she's holding straight to the regulations. So we got a problem with you, Nona. I got a letter here saying you got problems. I'm going to ask, how many customers do you have?
How many clients?
Clients do you have?
I'm not sure how many that would be, but like I said, we submit between 100 and 150 reports a month.
So you would say about 150 is probably what you're talking about?
As far as clients?
Yes.
No, because some of them, like one of them has, we probably do 20 reports for them for a month. And so I would say there's probably 30 of them of clients. Some of them only have one lease, one report. And, you know, and the problem with it is, like, one of my guys, at one time, his mom was doing part of his reporting and I was doing part of his reporting. I had a list of all of the leases I was doing. So whenever the lease sold, and this is what triggers this, the cancellations and terminations a lot of times, is whenever those leases are sold, then they go back and look for all of these reports. And so this one letter that I have here, it says that January and February of 2012, they didn't have reports for, and April through June of 2016. Now, I went to my file and pulled out my file stamped
I'm
going to
stop
April.
You right here.
Okay?
Okay, you're telling me a lot of information.
Sorry.
We need to understand how many operators you got, and tell me how many are having problems. That's what I'm after.
Well, the most recent one are two in the last 2 weeks.
And that's out of several hundred?
No. Out of about 25 or 30 operators
okay.
that I help.
Because I'm chatting with Ms. Phillips meeting after meeting. When she's sending the Coffeyville report, I'm seeing companies I never hear or never see.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming there's people out there that are getting on board and getting the stuff done. Is that right, Ms. Phillips?
Oh, yes. Please. Once our letter went out, we were getting reports like the 22nd. I mean, we were getting them well ahead of the 25th of the month. So, yeah.
I just trying to get
they
a feel of do we have 80% of the people out there are struggling, or is it 10%, or is it 5%? If you could, one of y'all could tell us what.
I think that would be hard for you to.
I mean, if I was in the business, I'd be able to tell you how many people I think are struggling and how many people are doing well.
Well, it sounds like to me we've notified 46 lessees didn't even give us a report. So that will basically have the agency go back and look to see whether or not we need to look at termination or cancellation. But he just said a few minutes ago that we sent out 10 notices of late payments or late fees. So 10 out of 460, I mean, that's what, 4%?
By 10 by 400.
You know what I mean? So people have taken our letters seriously. We just want it by the 25th on oil.
Okay.
On gas, we do have a resolution from you all, but not from you, per se.
That was my second question, the resolution that moved it to the 10th. You're honoring that.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I would follow up and say we're talking about a few people that are struggling to get these things corrected?
Well, I think the point I'm trying to make is the letters that we're receiving saying the reports are not there, and me being able to show you all on these and on that letter I just read of those, the April through June, I had file stamped copies. I brought them back over here, filed them again. So you can't say that these people aren't reporting properly because the system is so flawed But I don't know if they're there or not.
And I think Mrs. Councilwoman Irwin brought that out. We might have a problem with double stamped situations, but it sounds like to me it's, there may be a lot, maybe a few, but we could square our conversations with the Bureau and say, can we look at specifically these ones with a double stamp?
But most of them, in the meeting she's referring to in June, that I was, came up here, I filed some reports, I went to the bathroom, she came down there and asked me to come back to the operator's room. We sat down, and I told her then the exact same things I'm telling you is, most of these people do not drive over here, have their reports stamped. They mail them in the mail. And her comment to me was, well, they should have copies. I said, they do have copies, but they are not file stamped copies. They can go to their file, pull it out, and bring it to you. And she told me then, well, they should have a mail log, and I looked at her and said, really? These little mom and pops that may have one or two leases are gonna keep a mail log. It isn't happening. And so those people are the ones that they're gonna come back and say, you didn't file this, here's a fine. Well, as you can see, I can prove that I have filed them, and I've had to bring them back over here. These people have to pay me to drive over here and have these stamped yet again, which is not fair to them either with the price of oil at $37 a barrel. And so that's an undue burden on your operators with a system that is flawed, that they have no control over, and they don't, and there's nobody fixing it. As far as you're saying about the digitally filing, I believe there are operators, at least I had one guy tell one of my new operators that he always files his with an email. And we've never been able to do that. And I don't know, do you have people that can file an email and no. send reports in?
I require original copies on everything.
And so, you know, that, he asked me then, he goes, well, why aren't you emailing these? And I said, because we can't. And he goes, oh, yeah, so-and-so told me that he does them every month. And I'm like, really?
Mr. Hill, please stand.
They can email a copy, but I always want the original before it goes into our database.
Yes, sir.
So is it timely filed that they email it to you?
No.
So what would be the point of emailing it?
Superintendent, then I'd like to either, Councilwoman Boone, did you have your hand up a second ago?
I did, but I'm just so overwhelmed
okay.
by this conversation.
Superintendent, Councilwoman Irwin, and Councilman Brown.
The Osage Agency is doing better in addressing the system. Because right now at this point, we can go in, we can pull reports to make a determination as to whether or not we have received a report from the lessee. Now, some of the reports that Nona Roach may be talking about here would go back to something that was prior to my administration, and it's addressing reports so that we can assure assignments can be approved based on production. So we are looking at everything. So Nona, I understand that you feel like the agency is flawed, but at the same time, the agency has taken a lot of steps to improve the current system or the past system that's being used.
So you were a superintendent in June of 2016 or April through June of 2016 on these reports?
Yes.
And so your system is so improved, but yet I still got these.
Let me look what you got.
Here they are, stamped. This is the BIA, so I don't have permission to use my guys' names, and I don't want to do that because I don't want to have any retribution against them, because some of my guys already feel like they're being punished because I'm doing their report. There you go. I know when I take my reports over there, it takes me 20 minutes to get mine file stamped in. When I send somebody from my office that they don't recognize.
You were involved in this when I was on Minerals One.
Yes, sir.
I don't remember you coming in and saying all this stuff was happening.
Preaching to the choir.
I mean, from 2006, 2010, we had a different game plan going.
Exactly.
You never said a word about able to get into your stuff in.
Was I not at every NAREG meeting, every rulemaking meeting?
I'm just...
And I said this at every one of the meetings, every time we ever met on the new CFRs, about the flawed system and how hard it was to get things done correctly. Every meeting.
Councilwoman Harwood.
Okay, I've got a couple questions here. I'm a little confused here. If they do things digitally, and how do you have proof of submission? You were the one talking about it. I'm just, how would you get proof of submission since there's a problem with, I don't know.
Because when you file it, and no one's done for the honor system before, when you file it, it goes through, it accepts your data. First, it looks at the data to see if it makes sense. You filled in all the lines, the numbers look like that they're at least plausible numbers that you put in. You didn't fat finger a number. And then when you file it, it says accepted, and you have a record that it was accepted by the system.
First, I have to validate it.
Yeah, okay.
I validate the data that's in there, and then...
It's not an email. You go on to a computer system, and you do the...
Yeah, it's an online system.
Okay.
An online system that you're locked out of, except from 7 to 7, Monday through Friday.
Anyway,
you can lock it on.
But this gentleman over here said there has to be an original filed. So I'm kind of concerned. Also, I want to clear something up here. You said there was, initially, there was 436 letters that you sent out there informed, and then you were said there was 460. So which is it, 436 or 460?
It's 436.
Okay. All right, because she said the second time around it was 460. Okay, I just want to make sure I, you know, didn't get that right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
We had a meeting.
Excuse me, Councilman Crowder.
Sorry.
What I first set my hand up for was, you know, I think communication is real important here. And I heard you say, Madam Superintendent, that you've had calls from gas people. And you explained to them they didn't have to have it into the 10th. I would suggest a mail out to them, too. Since they've had a mail out, most of them are double. They have one for gas. Or for oil already in their hand, they probably are wondering about their gas deal and how that works. So I would encourage another mail out to explain the whole system. I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I would address on Councilman Irwin's comment was about that it had to be an original copy. And mail
no,
in.
Not an original copy, original.
Original, okay. I'm sorry, I misspoke. And that's because what the regs say now, or that they was, but there was a reg change that allowed for it to be done digitally on the new ones. And that's what has to be changed before they can do that. So he can't accept, nor does he have the program that you can enter it in on now. So they have to do what they've been doing for 100 years, and
yes.
Print and paper, you know, printed, whatever.
And essentially, I do them on an Excel spreadsheet is what I do with them. And but it was my understanding through setting through all the NEG regs is that the accounting system and the reporting system could be changed at any time. It is not dependent on the new CFRs. It is not dependent on anything. The BIA had the authority, and they were going to roll out in September. They never told us what year, and we're on our second September now. They were going to roll that out just like in the honor system, which has not happened, and doesn't look like it's going to be this September either.
Could I respond to that real quick?
Yes.
I thought the same thing, and I lobbied for that head off. Why can't we at least have this part? You know, because I think it's the key to fixing all the problems. And we were informed in our improvement meeting that probably from the solicitor's office, they determined that because the other one is still in court action, you know, the back and forth with the council and everybody on that one, that they were not allowing it to be put in place yet.
Because
so the legal eagles got involved and stopped it.
Yeah.
I was told the same thing.
Yeah, at that time, and at the meeting out there at the Culture Center, we were told that they could change the accounting system anytime they wanted to, and that they were going to, and that this was going to be the new system. And so, since I wasn't at the New Bedford meeting, I didn't know that.
I would like to stop for just a second. Councilman, you're next. I believe it was Councilman Yates, and then I'd like to go Councilwoman Boone, then back to you.
All right, thank you, Chairman. We had a meeting with operators coming in, had a presentation showing us the honor system and their fear of more fines if they get anything wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Were you in that meeting?
I'm sure I was. I attended.
So now we've got you coming in and saying, this is, you want a digital system. That day you're saying you're scared because the fines are so massive. And then you were here between 2006 and 2010. Right? And you had a lot of business going on.
Yes.
We had a whole game separate. We had another individual sitting in that spot. You didn't like that.
Well,
you didn't like what she was doing. And now we got a change and you still don't like it. So what do we need to do? I think, you know, we'd like to solve the problems of the operators. That's my goal. Are you an operator? Are you just doing the paperwork for the operator?
No, so I am not an operator.
Okay.
I am a contractor for them.
Okay.
However, if you want
We're looking out for the operator.
Exactly.
Okay?
I am too.
So if you don't like the system between 2006, 2010, and we had a person here that is not as stringent as slamming people with fines or whatever is what you're saying, and now we do because you want to change, I don't understand. I mean, how can we tackle all these problems? I think if you want to sit down and let's talk about it, let's get down with the Bureau and solve this problem.
Okay.
But I know I've seen correspondence by you and another geologist that just slams us, slams our sovereignty, slams our relationship with the United States, just continually. So I'm asking, I'd like the operators to get out there. I want that to happen. I think we can do it.
Yes, sir.
But we need you to sit down with us and identify the problems you don't like, and then maybe you need to move a little bit too, because we've got to move. All of us are going to have to shift. This is a new day. It's a difficult day.
Yes, sir.
And she's coming in right, and she is bringing home these regulations. Do I agree with that? No, but she's the driving the ship. We're going to have to get our operators up to speed quickly. As Mr. Crum's saying, maybe we need another letter. But your history here is well read, and a lot of people know what's going on. We want to protect the operators. They're our money makers, okay? And I just want to know what's shifting. Why? Do you believe in our sovereignty? Do you think the Associated Nation could do all this for you, or do you want to hand it to somebody else?
If you would go back and listen to the very first meeting in this room in August of when the first NED regs was established in rulemaking, you would hear my testimony, which was this. I expect the BIA to do their job. I expect them, when I file a report, to have it in the system and it be there. I do not expect to have to come back repeatedly bringing the same reports. Now, here's the next problem with that. I also, as a landowner, expect for the BIA to take care of the regulations and enforce them. I don't want them cherry picking and saying, I'm going to enforce this fine and I'm going to enforce all of this stuff because it says clearly in the CFRs. It also says they will not allow accidents, they will not allow nuisances or waste on the land. I have land in my pasture that's been in my husband's family since 1939. I have a pond that was saltwater to 40,000 parts per million of saltwater in it. It ran down this hill. They were supposed to have grass growing on that hill. It will be 2 years in February. I still don't have it. I have a landowner over here by Bartlesville. Miss Phillips and Mr. Winlock came out there on May the 19th. There were weed cables laying everywhere on the ground. He has exactly two poles that have electric lines on them. The rest of it, all these other wells are ran with Rita cable. At that time, it was raining, and I pointed out to them, I have pictures of it. They have been spliced, they have been laying on rocks, all of this stuff. So, I expect the regulations to be enforced across the board.
And end with that, please.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Now, let's stay with this letter. Actually, you have one, but actually, then it's Councilman Yates.
Okay.
Did you want to respond?
I want to go back to the letter.
No, stay with the letter, please.
Okay. In your discussion about your letter, that you had reports that were initially double stamped.
Yes, ma'am.
So, your initial stamp, would it have been in time? Would those reports have been filed on time?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so all of those would have been done, but they had to come back, and then that's where the fines came in?
No, the fines came in on, because on July 28th, that's when it was file stamped. Because, like I explained, sometimes they don't get their credit purchase statements on time. So there was two of them that got $150 a fine apiece that were filed on the 28th instead of the 25th.
Okay.
However, they had never been notified that they were late. They had never been notified that they didn't have reports for them. They had never been notified of anything that wasn't taken care of in the past. These were operators that had never been told they were non-compliant.
Okay.
And they each got $150 fines. Okay. $50 per day per report.
Right, okay. And my next question then is for Ms. Phillips. What I'd like to see in your letters where you're informing these producers that they need to get their reports in on time, I wish you would take that a step further to say that the results, if they don't, will lead to termination. Is that correct?
It is correct.
Okay.
I don't put that in there. I basically just identify when it's due and the penalty.
And that's what I'm asking, is that
you
will take that a step
that.
Further.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman.
Thank you. I was just wanting to regret this approach that, you know, more word was this letter.
Yes, sir.
And kind of sidetracked with other issues with the BIA. Let me say that for another day. What I would like to do is commend Ron Phillips and the job you're doing on these reports. I would be concerned if she wasn't ensuring that the production reports were being done in a timely manner. So to bring her in and discuss her doing her job well, I think that she should be commended. I have operators that I deal with, and one of the misconceptions and some of the problems she's having is some of the operating procedures from years past. He had a lease, several leases, that did produce gas. And he had been told in years past that he didn't submit a report since it wasn't producing gas. And it was found out later when he got a letter notifying him of a fine on all these that he was several years behind on reporting zero gas production. And so he came in and talked to Ms. Phillips, and he was treated very well. He was nothing but no fines retroactive. He was able to, in paper, produce all those reports or all those leases by hand. But he was very happy, and he was pleased with Ms. Phillips' handling. So I would like to commend her for doing your job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So my question, or maybe I'm going to make this statement here, that you had 169 forms that you had to get double stamped. If you had gone back a second time to get them stamped again because they couldn't find them or whatever happened to them, that they would have received a letter or were considered late or not sent in?
I would assume that would be exactly what the problem is.
But you took that extra step to bring them back up here.
Yes, ma'am.
So your clients would not get that letter that they had not been filed or sent in.
Right, and it's very unfair for them to, the ones that don't file stamp them and don't drive them over here, for them to also go back on them and say, we never received your report.
So what I'm saying
because
is,
they have been filed.
Stay with your effort.
Okay. Exactly. So what I'm saying is, because you made an effort to come back in and double stamp them, they didn't get a copy or a letter saying that that were going to be fined because I did not submit the reports because I couldn't find the reports. Is that what you're trying to say here?
Exactly. I have not had one today fined for me bringing back and proving that they were not only filed before, they are again filed again. And that's what this stack is. Those are all ones that are double stamped.
Yeah, the superintendent said that.
So, okay.
Please wrap it up.
I'm through.
Councilman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chairman. There was a comment by Councilman Yates. We want to stick to the letter. We're getting sidetracked. To me, it's not a sidetrack issue. To me, it's germane to the conversation. Get a letter that tells us how we want to behave or how we want the Bureau to act on a specific instance. So just want to clarify that all my comments are concerning this letter and this, how you're treated by the Bureau. I'm digging a little further because I want to find a solution to your problem. Sorry if you think I've attacked in certain different areas, but that's my job when I'm not here. I got to drill down to the problem, the root, and let's get to the solution quickly. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that we can do that with the Bureau. I think we can. I agree with you. This is a new game. And I don't think it's coming just around here. I think it's all the way to D.C. They want to eliminate oil and gas from the top. And we're in a hard environment. That's my view. So I'm hoping we can, and I think we can, stay within our sovereignty, stay within the Osage sovereignty, and solve these problems and protect our resource. So that's the game I'm proposing to you, that we get this problem solved. We work with the powers that be, and let's move forward and get some oil out of it.
And that's what I wanted for 42 years. Okay. I've been in the Osage and dealt with the Bureau of Indian Affairs for 42 years.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Captain.
Oh, I just have one question. You said that when you submit a report, you cannot submit it electronically because the computer is shut down from Friday to Sunday.
That's on the honor system that that Councilman Crum was talking about, on the honor system. You are not allowed to get on it before 7 o'clock in the morning. You cannot get on it after 7 o'clock at night. You cannot be on weekends, and you cannot be on holidays. So you have to get your reporting all done with that. They are validated. I can print copies of it. It has a file stamp showing when I printed it. And that was the system that was going to be implemented. Because of the Osage being unique, they had to devise a new entire, like a beta testing and everything like that. And that was our understanding all during the neighborhoods, is that was going to happen, no matter what happened with the CFRs, that this was going to be put in place, and then we would have that. Now, because of the flawed system, and I get probably an email at least once a week telling me their system is down. Their honor system is down. We're not allowed to input into it. So, yes, I definitely said I don't like that system, and it's flawed too. But, you know, there you go. What are you going to do? Throw the baby out with the bathwater. All I'm asking is that, you know, acknowledge that even though these operators may not have a file stamp copy of their reports that were done in 2014 or whatever triggered them going back and looking at that, that does not mean, and I told her that day, you need to rethink this, because that does not mean they did not comply and they did not file their reports on time. It just means you don't have the copy. And that was a repeated, obviously, of 169 on my case.
And that would be your opinion.
Well, it's not my opinion. I've had to bring them over and have them file
again. Your specific item, that better be your opinion, because you're on my agenda.
Exactly.
Comment, please. Council, do you want to end up on this? Would you like to close me out, bro?
We move on.
If I can just say something, and at the time that I met with Nona, I told Nona nothing's retroactive. We have to have those reports in order to proceed on with the assignment and so forth. So we're not assessing anybody back. We're basically, from this day forward, there'll be a penalty. So.
But if your system is still flawed, you're not going to know if they were reported properly and on time.
But if you have stamped copies, then we'll take care of it.
If I have stamped copies, I'll take
care of it. Which you show you had to take care of anyway.
Yes, sir, I did.
Thank you, ma'am.
And you can just send those in to me.
Got the room.
Yeah, but I have no proof that I'm out.
Would you like to take care of anything else?
I just want to say, if she's known to, because there's anything we want, you want us to watch, we get the letters, there's just some element we need to be aware of, just, because we get the letters, they're quick to get them to us, and it's a lot to read, but we do. We read each and every one of them. So is there a way we can find out if somebody's in problem, maybe we can come up with a solution, working with the Bureau and getting that done?
That's why I asked to be here today.
Thank you, ma'am, that's exactly the meeting I had with Superintendent at 9:00 this morning. I'd like to move on, I'd like to request that we have the Osage Shareholder Association, Mr. R.E. Yarbrough. Sir, the floor is all yours. And I'd like to do an introduction, please, and your seating. That's your office.
Thank you for giving the Osage Shareholder Association time to speak to the council. The purpose of our presence today is to request that the Osage Minerals Council help the Osage Shareholder Association improve communication between the council and its electorate. There are grave issues with the economic viability of our mineral estate and great need for improvements in its management. With a 76% drop in our revenue, 100% drop in drilling, an 18-month delay in getting permits approved, there is great shareholder concern and a great need to know what our elected officials are doing to correct these deficiencies. The OSA respectfully requests a regular speaking slot on the monthly meeting agenda so that we can make our concerns known. And furthermore, we are extending an invitation for a member of the council to attend our quarterly meetings to give shareholders a report on the production and drilling activities, projected revenues, remaining reserves, the current Osage Nation ethics lawsuit, or any other legal activities the council is involved with. The October 2014 Office of the Inspector General report entitled, BIA needs sweeping changes to manage the Osage Nation's energy resources, has not been forgotten. It contains 33 areas that fundamentally flawed BIA procedures in serious need of improvement. It is our desire that the BIA and the Osage Mineral Council use this report as a template to begin the process of bringing the management of our mineral estate up to date. We cannot afford to accept business as usual. Our goal through better communication is to promote a thriving mineral estate and ensure that the Osage shareholders have a voice that is heard by our elected officials. Thank you all.
Thank you, sir. Would you hang on? Is there any comments you'd like to make at this time, council?
No, I do appreciate you coming up and...
Councilman. Daddy's hand up.
Okay. I never said that.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Yarbrough. Just your one request is to be addressed once a month, this council. Have a slot.
If we have any concerns.
If necessary.
If necessary. Oh, I thought you were wanting to continue.
Well, I mean, things come up in every meeting.
I'd be okay.
You all have always come and spoke to us, and sometimes we have concerns and usually answer them when we have them. But if we need them expressed here in an official meeting, we'd like the opportunity to come up and express to you all officially what we're thinking and feeling about different issues.
I think that we could have a effort where it's emailed in, brought to us by letter, because you're not the only organization, but you're the local one,
right,
which makes it better for us, because I just don't. We have two groups in California. We have enough effort in Colorado and Dallas, but in any case, this would be a fine place to start with you.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all.
We appreciate it. With that, we are going to go down to item number E, to close the PL account. We had that on the floor. Is there any other questions on it? I think that Mrs. Perry could answer those for us. We looked at it. The concern I had is I thought it'd go back into our administration account where the original money came out of. But now it's going to have to be dispersed, is that correct?
It'll go to the 738, so.
Which is disbursement account? Counsel, you have any questions, please?
Yes, I do. When you said it goes to, I didn't hear the account number, 70 what?
738-6706.
706?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And this was a decision based on, what did you base your decision on?
I have a solicitor opinion, and I've had, that's been the previous process with other accounts.
Okay, but in the opinion, someone stated to me that it was part of the highest posted price. Is that why it was being done like this? I mean, I'm trying to figure out.
No.
Since I didn't get to read the solicitor's opinion.
It had nothing to do with the highest purchase price.
So it has to do with the drawdown, that we only able to draw down a million a year?
The practice is just for it to funnel into the distribution account. And it doesn't have anything to do with the drawdown either, that's a different.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I know it is that. Okay, so you're actually saying that it is going to be put in the revenue account?
Yes.
Okay. I'm through.
Counsel, anything to add? Counselman.
It was my understanding when we were initially talking about the closing of this account was that we were going to be able to use it for administrative purposes. And so now I'm hearing a different thing, and I haven't seen the legal opinion on it, so I'm a little bit confused as to why we have to distribute it when our initial request was for operating expenses.
Administration.
Okay.
Well, you can request funds for administration costs, but the cap, that's where the cap come in. You're limited to the million for your administration costs.
Counselwoman, you done?
Yes, thank you.
Counselman Lynch, did you want to go, Counselman Craig?
I just wanted to identify the administrative costs or what you was going to use the money for, Cynthia.
It wasn't me that was going to use the money for anything. It was, the purpose I heard in closing the account was to use it for that. I didn't have any plans to use it for any specific anything. Because, as you well know, any decisions to spend money has to be a vote of the council. It's not an individual thing.
If you go shareholders, I'm in favor of transferring to the PL account to pay off the shareholders.
I was going to vote support the motion. Counsel, do you have any, Counselman Craig?
I just want to say this is consistent with the other accounts we closed a year and a half ago, something like that. And at the time, Brian Ross was the OSD, and he tried to put as many of them together as what he could at that point and be able to send them right out without waiting. So we closed out several at that time, and this is just a follow-up on that. There was one that got, he wasn't able to set up for it at that time. And those all went to the shareholders, that was the purpose. And as long as they're going to the head right holders, I said shareholders, I always hated when I say that, to the head right holders, why, I'm good with it. Matter of fact, I move that we accept the resolution and vote on it.
Form of motion, sir?
That's a motion.
I need a second.
Motion to suspend the rules so we can vote ahead.
I'd like to first have a motion to suspend the rules. Would you, so moved? Now I need a second for that, suspend the rules?
Second.
I have a motion on board, Counselman Gay, second by Counselman Crane, suspend the rules to vote on the close of the PL account and then give it to our head right.
See you later, Wednesday.
We'll get through the suspended rules first, and then we'll open up discussion on the question itself.
Wait, just a question, please. What's the rush to get it done today? Is there a rush?
No, sir.
Just, between now and Wednesday, if there's a rush, yeah, just a question.
I
Councilman Crowe?
I can speak to that. That was no rush. I just wanted to, we were talking through. I just said, and I wasn't, actually, I wasn't thinking about the rules. So if it's a problem, I would remove my motion. This is not what we can, do. Wednesday. I just kind of misspoke.
Okay, just kind of look at all the issues.
Okay.
I want to do something.
I don't know what's going on.
First off, would you like?
As the one who made motion to suspend the rules when you vote today, I'm fine with that motion. We've discussed this before. It's been on several agendas and we've discussed it. So I feel like it's, we know everything about, we need to know, make an informed vote. If you don't feel that way, then
I just.
No, I'll make it till Wednesday.
Okay.
Since I opened up for discussion in this element, so what you're done, want to actually give you an opportunity to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't see the rush to have it done today because the $68 would not be on this payment check anyway.
December.
Right.
So there's just $68 in this account.
If my math is correct, yeah, $152,000 divided by $2,229, I think comes up to about $68.
Oh, so there's $102,000 in the.
$152,000, I believe.
Interest is brought it up to $154,000 approximately.
Where does money come from?
This is the sales of beer, I, map account, et cetera.
Okay, I remember now, thank you.
Yes, sir. Councilman.
I didn't mean that to get out of this.
Let's go.
A point of order would be that.
We rescind the motion.
Well, that we vote on the motion to suspend the rules. It goes up or down, and then we'll vote. Let's work our way out of this mess, I got sent to.
Then remove your second.
Call for the vote.
Councilwoman Good?
No.
Councilman Shishwell?
No.
Councilman Crowe?
Yes, I'm still for this.
Councilwoman Earl?
Well.
Councilwoman Redcorn?
Yes.
Councilman Redcorn?
No.
Chairman Waller?
Yes.
Councilman Yates?
Yes.
Motion goes.
Thank you very much.
Still on the agenda for Wednesday?
Yes, sir.
May I ask a question?
Over.
Over this, I would like to have a list of the Brian Ross list, that the accounts that he closed out. I've been going to different accounts in there, and some of them say they don't exist anymore, but still I'm seeing stuff on them. But I'd like to have a list of those accounts that were closed out.
There were two. One was the HULA reservoir funds, and the other was that special aggregated funds, was the municipal.
When you talk about the HULA Lake funds, is that the scholarship money?
No.
Okay, that's what keeps popping up, and I don't know anything. I'm trying to figure that out.
There's another ETEC or whatever that other, that's where Headrod was left to be managed out of Oklahoma City, that board that BIA sent.
Okay.
I was going to say, I don't have enough time.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out where all the accounts are.
Would you like to get with Ms. Perry and finish up with that?
Yes, I will.
If you could, if the BIA could, if there's two accounts, write a little summary on what it is and where it's coming from, et cetera. Because when I sit in this meeting, I'm hearing, oh, someone thinks it's over here, someone, but I want, and they might be right, but I want to make sure we're looking at the correct information. So you tell me what these accounts are saying, or where they come from, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
And that way I'll know for sure what we're talking about.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
We would like to ask for a motion going executive, like to have the personnel issues of our staff brought up.
I make a motion that we go into executive session. I second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, we have a motion on the floor, Councilwoman Irving, seconded by Councilwoman Boone. Call for the questions, so we can go into executive, please.
Councilman Shishwell?
Yes.
Councilman Crowe?
Yes.
Councilwoman Irving?
Yes.
Councilwoman Redcorn?
Yes.
Councilman Redcorn?
Yes.
Chairman Waller?
Yes.
Councilman Yates?
Yes.
Councilwoman Good?
Yes.
Motion passes, like take a short break, and then we'll come back to the meeting. In executive, thank you, council.
Excuse me, Chairman?
Yes.